D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick, expected to join us soon. We should probably check on Willie. He's back in town. He's just not here yet. And we miss him, and he'll be here soon. But in the meantime, we are going to put the Titans coaching search off to the side for just a few minutes. And we are going to look at Cam Ward. Cam Ward's rookie season. We're going to grade him. And I'd like to think that I'm a harsh but fair grader. I don't know if those two things actually work together, but I like to think that I am reasonable. I take a lot of things into account when assessing a player's performance, but we are going to grade Cam Ward's performance. So let's just start by laying out Cam Ward's rookie season. He started all 17 games. He did not make it through his final start of the season. He was injured on the first drive. But he did start all 17 games. He threw for 3,169 yards. He threw for 15 touchdowns, threw 7 interceptions. He had a completion percentage of 59.8%, which according to the qualified quarterbacks, the 33 qualified quarterbacks on NFL Pro, ranked 31st out of 33. His 59.8% completion percentage, 31st out of 33 qualified quarterbacks on NFL Pro. He had a QBR of 33.1, which was 28th out of 28 qualified quarterbacks on ESPN. He had 23 turnover-worthy plays, tied for third most with Geno Smith in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. And it's not just about the numbers. It's about how he conducted himself, the mental fortitude, all of those things, the intangibles. So, Derek, as you assess Cam Ward's season, what areas of his game are you most encouraged by? We'll start with there. Which areas of his game are you most encouraged by after his rookie season?
I think his ability to adapt to the situations around him, whether it be underneath center, whether it be in shotgun, whether it be sidearm, getting outside the pocket, he's especially toward the latter part of the year, it seems like he started to recognize things and adapt to it very quickly. It seemed like they gave him a little bit more leeway. They worked a little bit more toward his strength. So from that standpoint, I think that he became a better processor throughout the game. And that's one of the biggest things for a young quarterback. It's learning how to process this stuff at a speed that you didn't have to process it at before. And just like any other rookie quarterback, whether you are successful or not, you know, that process took some time. And for Cam, it did. But you saw toward the latter part of the season, after the bye week, the last 8 games, he became a much better quarterback. Things seem to be clicking. It seems that he's figured it out, that he's starting to figure it out. Not that he's totally figured it out, but that he's starting to figure it out. And, you know, he's sort of leaned into more of what they were asking him to do, and he accepted it. He was coachable. So those things I'm excited about with Cam. He has the arm strength. He does need to get better, and we've talked about this extensively. He does need to get better at throwing the deep ball, particularly to that left side. For some reason, he has a hard time, whether it be the deep corner route, deep, you know, the nine route. He's missed, I believe, more times than not when we're talking about those deep routes to either side, but in particular, I think the left side. So, but that's something that he can work on. But the unfortunate part about it is he will be spending some of offseason rehabbing that shoulder. But like he said, listen, a lot of the things that the main thing that I really have to straighten out, and it will sort of bleed over into the other things, is my lower body. So I can still do those things while not being able to throw the football. Okay, if that's the case, then, you know, we should definitely see a change come next season, because he's going to be working intently on that because he can't throw the football. So there should be a noticeable change once Cam starts throwing the football again.
One texter says, we say that the offensive line kind of turned around after the bye. How well was Cam after the bye? About the same? He actually did improve after the bye. In eight games, and keep in mind, in the final game, he only threw three passes. His completion percentage was 62.4%. He had a touchdown to interception ratio of 10 to 1, and he only took 17 sacks, an average of 2.1 per game, and the offensive line has a part has a part in that. But I also thought he also showed improvement in avoiding sacks when pressured, whether it was throwing the ball away, you know, evading defenders. I thought he improved there. He did get better. I wouldn't say greatly. I wouldn't say it was like a huge improvement. I would say it was incremental, but it was still noticeable. You could tell that he looked better after the bye. What I was encouraged by was, one, the fact that he was available. He played all 17 games, and yes, I know he got hurt in the 17th game, but up until that point, he took every snap. And I believe he was the only quarterback in the league who could say that entering the final week of the regular season. He took every snap. Durability is a huge plus. And who knows if that will last, but the fact that he made it through the entire season, mostly, unscathed, I think that is a feather in his cap. The fact that he improved again after the bye, again, incremental progress, but his completion percentage was better. I was encouraged by that. The plays that he can make, scrambling, throwing across his body. We all remember the first touchdown to Elijah Manner at the beginning of the season. He had some big plays like that, you know, later in the season. They're escaping me which games they were. I'll think about it. But just those big time throws, they were, and I regret, I'm prefacing this by saying I'm going to regret saying this. They were Mahomesian. I'm not saying
here's the text.
He's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but it was Mahomesian.
Okay.
So I look.
Mahomes adjacent.
Mahomes adjacent. Yes. So those were some of the things that I was encouraged by. At the same time, some of these numbers are just, they're not good.
No.
They're not good. The completion percentage isn't good. The number of turnover-worthy plays isn't good. If you want to get even fancier, the expected points added per dropback wasn't good. And I understand the QBR was the worst in the league. Mm-hmm. I can understand, and I said this before, it's about context. I acknowledge the fact that Cam Ward had a below average offensive line. Mm-hmm. I do think the offensive line improved over the course of the season, but overall I would say it was still a below average offensive line. His top targets were fourth round rookies. How rare is that? Calvin Ridley got hurt, and he was leaning on Chim Dike and Elijah Manner and Gunnar Helm, and of course Chig Okonkwo. But a lot of his primary targets were fourth round rookies. That doesn't happen very often for a rookie quarterback. So I have to keep that in mind. His coach got fired after, what, six games? And before that, his coach gave up play calling responsibilities. So I factor all of that in when evaluating Cam Ward's season. Overall, I would say that I am cautiously optimistic. I think there's a lot to like about what we saw from Cam Ward. To your point, Derek, there are plenty of things he needs to focus on. The footwork, the accuracy downfield, the shoulder injury, which is not as serious as we all thought it would be. Mm-hmm. That will factor into, you know, how much improvement he can make on that during the offseason. But as I sit here right now, I am not going to say that the Titans made a mistake by drafting Cam Ward number one overall. I am also not going to say that they hit it out of the park. I am cautiously optimistic from what I saw.
It's yet to be determined, and I understand why, you know, people want it to go from A to M and then from N to Z, like in 2 years. Why? Because you were the number one pick. So people just expect, like, you can't – the process or the development for you is different from everybody else. It is. That's just the people can say whatever they want to say, but they expect the number one pick in the draft, regardless of who it is. The way you develop is different from the way everybody else is developed. They get picked after you, especially if they're not in the top 5 or 10 players chosen. But that's just the nature of the position that you were drafted in. If Cam Ward was the 18th pick in the NFL draft, this would be great for Titans fans. They would be, hallelujah, we found our guy. But because you are the number one pick in the NFL draft, it's, oh man, he does still have some developing, a lot of developing to do. But I think under the circumstance, what more do we believe? And this is like an honest question, like, what more do we believe he could have done to take a team that we're trying to convince another coach to coach? Like, we're trying to convince another coach to coach this team, but we expect our rookie quarterback to make, you know what, you know, make chicken out of you know what. And when I say that, it's not, I don't want to make it seem like this is just a you know what. They don't have as much talent. The cupboard is bare. Okay? And you asking him to cook a full course meal with just beans and rice. I can live on beans and rice now. And you know, you take a pick. Who you want to be the beans and who you want to be the rice? Cam or Simmons? I can live on beans and rice. But if you're talking about a full course meal, it ain't just going to be beans and rice. You got to give me some more. But you're asking him to create that out of that.
It's reminiscent of when I was younger. I was after I graduated college, and I had met my wonderful wife, and I was on my own. And
eat ramen.
I didn't actually eat a lot of ramen. One of my go-to, man. I don't think I'm going to say it. I think it's going to gross people out. I'm just going to eat something quickly because I have nothing in the house and I'm not good at cooking. It would be a hot dog wrapped in a tortilla with melted cheese.
That's not as bad. I don't eat hot dogs, but that's not as bad.
You know, I heard a lot worse.
Cam Ward's his ingredients were a hot dog and a tortilla. That's what it was. And that does not absolve Cam Ward for some of the things that he needs to correct. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all we were preaching this all season. It's about context. Look at the roster. Look at the pass catchers. It's just not good. So we've gotten a couple of grades on our text line. We will give our grades as well.
Yes.
But one texter says, B+. If I polled Titans fans at the start of the season and asked if 3,100 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions would be a great season for a rookie with our lineup, most would say yes. Now we know he did that with mostly rookie wide receivers. Easy for me to say.
Wookie.
Chewbacca was out there. Chewbacca, he runs a 4.6. No, with mostly rookie wide receivers, no Ridley, no Lockett.
And, yes, listen, he has to do his part, Cam. And I think at times he was able to do it. But then there are times that, you know, he struggled. And, you know, he can't have those same struggles next year, you know, especially if they find a way to make this roster better. But, you know, a B+, maybe that's too high for me. I would say maybe a C+. I wish he would have finished the last game. You know, that would have been more telling. For me, it would have sort of gave that final grade. But I'm somewhere, a B+, for me, that would be too high.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that would be too high. But, hey, if that's what the texter, you know, feel they've been watching is B+ quarterback, and then okay.
Jared from Spring Hill says, I'll give Ward a C+. What he lacks in stats, he has in mental toughness. Mm-hmm. The biggest difference maker is between the ears, and he has a respectful mental drive.
Yeah, it just seems like he takes everything as it comes, but he but he doesn't mind the challenge. He didn't mind. It's like, watch a quarterback, especially a young quarterback or an older quarterback. Watch, after a while, watch their face when they get tackled or when they get sacked. Watch their face. Their face is telling. Their body, as much as they try to, like, either their body's going to give it away, their body language, or their face expression is going to give it away. You didn't know with Cam. You just thought it was a routine play, whether he got knocked down five times in a game or not, or two. He got up with the same mentality. I'm getting up and I'm fighting again. I'm getting up and I'm fighting again. I'm challenging guys. I'm challenging myself. I'm getting up and fighting again. So that type of demeanor, I think, along with the talent, because it's not like he has this demeanor but not the talent. The kid has the talent. But that type of demeanor and that talent and that understanding that you believe he's developing, and everybody in that locker room and that ability says he's a coachable guy. He's about ball. Isn't that what we wanted? Someone that was all ball? That's what we wanted. Well, this kid seems to be all ball. At least that's what Borghazi has told us. So, you know, he has some developing, more developing to do. But I feel confident that we will see a better version of Cam Ward next year.
Doug in Columbia says, I think he did fine considering he had a decimated team. I'd give him a B-. Matt from Camden says, he never gets too high or too low, and that is huge for a quarterback. 615-737-1025. We are assessing Cam Ward's rookie season. Give him a grade and tell us why. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let me tell all of you in the meantime that the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football playoffs. Tomorrow, following the Vanderbilt women's game on 94.9 The Fan, catch number 10 Miami against number 6 Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl. The college football playoff is presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment.
Cam's first season, how important is to find a coach, a staff that can help him develop?
Yeah, no, what I think of his first season, I think he went through a ton of adversity. And I think, he battled through it and he got better. The coach we're looking for on that side of the ball, whether it be the head coach, if an offensive coach, or just the offensive coordinator, is to help him develop more, and really to find a coach that can really accentuate some of the strengths of the players. You're always looking for that, you know, Jim. Really good coaches know their personnel, know their players, and what do they do well, and how do you put them in the best position to win? We're looking for someone that can, you know, really look at Cam, and this is what he does well, and this is what our receivers do well, this is what our running backs do well. That's what we're looking for.
That was Mike Borghazi. Ashley Simpson. I like it, David James.
I was feeling some Ashley Simpson today. I was literally listening to this song on the way here. I was like, oh, I'm playing this on the radio.
I respect it.
No,
by the
Ashley
way,
Simpson.
Wes in Hermitage says, Adam, I hope you know I am strongly wishing you a happy new year, and I'll do it again every day this week. No, that is very much unacceptable. Today, I don't know if Mayor O'Connell is listening right now, but if he can make some sort of city decree, I establish in the city of Nashville that today is the final day you are allowed to wish anybody happy new year.
I thought it was March 1st.
No, that's Derek's dumb idea. It's January 7th, according to Larry David. I'm pretty sure. So today is the last day you can wish someone Happy New Year. If somebody wishes me Happy New Year tomorrow, I'm gonna be like, what the hell are you talking about?
We're 8 days in.
So guys, do not call in tomorrow and wish Adam a Happy New Year.
Do not.
Yeah,
not
please,
call in.
Please do not call
please.
In tomorrow. Please.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's get back to Cam Ward before people go nuts. We asked for your grades on Cam Ward's season, and we've got some wide-ranging grades. Matthew from Jolton, by the way, says that Cam wasn't throwing to Wookiees. He had Ewoks. That, you know, that's probably true.
That's fair.
Let's see here. Ricky says, C-. Missed way too many easy throws and struggled early, but ended the season looking like a kid who worked hard and caught up quickly. One texter says, it must be mentioned that Cam faced a murderer's row of defenses this year. We've brought that up many times. I'm not even complaining about it. He persevered through the schedule with an awful team with awful coaching. The handful of times I even remotely enjoyed watching the Titans every Sunday were the moments where his ability to create plays and make insane throws surfaced. We ass, but we won't always be. I did give Cam Ward in my grade a slight check for introducing we ass into the lexicon. So he gets credit for that. One texter says, I give him a C. Let's remember that this is two grades above failing, which is more than admirable for a rookie year. If he can shore up some of the inaccuracy issues and the turnovers, he could be well on his way to a B plus next year. Look what you guys did. Richard from Murfreesboro texted in and said, text for tomorrow for Adam. Happy New Year.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, God. All right.
We said please don't do that,
yes,
guys.
All right. Yes. Cam, back to Cam.
Oh, man.
My grade for Cam, I am giving him a C. Just a solid, right in the middle, a C. And I gave him a bump for playing in every game. I think that's impressive. We weren't sure that he was going to. When we went through our Titans questions earlier this week from the beginning of the season, Willie set the over-under at, what, 12 and a half?
I think so.
And he took the under. I said all 17. And that was one of the few things I was right about this season. I think it's impressive that he made it through the entire season. I like the intangibles, and I know that you can't put a number on the intangibles. For me, the fact that he played in every game, the fact that he appeared to make progress over the course of the season, as the texter just said, that bumped it up for me. The numbers, again, are unkind to Cam Ward as a refresher. A 59.8% completion percentage, which is 31st out of 33 qualified quarterbacks on NFL Pro, because all of these different websites have different parameters for qualifying quarterbacks. So on NFL Pro, Cam Ward, 31st out of 33 in completion percentage. QBR on ESPN, 28th out of 28. 23 turnover-worthy plays, tied for third most with Geno Smith on Pro Football Focus. Some of those numbers are just really, really ugly. The sack numbers at the beginning of the season. So I can't ignore those. But when you combine the below average numbers with the improvement he seemed to make over the course of the season, when you consider the environment, the coaching staff, the pass catchers, I think he did about as well as you could expect. And that's why I put him right in the middle. At the same.
We were throughout the season. You're trying to figure out, okay, what could this look like if Cam had some more talent around him, the offensive line, held their own, and there was some stability. Well, I think you found out. I think Cam gave you a glimpse of what it could look like. The month of September and October was the highest months in sacks allowed by the Tennessee Titans. I think they gave up 17 sacks in both months. It dwindled down in November to 14. And then in December, and I mean on Cam, in December, January, you can't count, he only played three plays or three passes. So there was no, he really didn't, I guess you still had a chance to get sacked, but he didn't. But the month of December, he got sacked 7 times. So he cut that in. He cut that over half, and it was a part of him, and it was a part of the offensive line. They started blocking better. Plays were starting to be called that were geared more toward the personnel and their quarterback than anything else. And then Cam learned how to get out of the pocket, and he became more of a threat, a potential threat of running a football. Teams, I guarantee you, at the second half of the season, teams looked at Cam running the football a little bit different than they did the first half of the season, because he wouldn't run for no reason. He stayed in the pocket. And I guarantee you defensive coordinators picked that out each and every time they went over the scouting report at the beginning of the week. He doesn't run. He doesn't run. He's going to stay in the pocket, so you got to have a chance to sack him. He doesn't move well in the pocket. I think the second half of the season, you had to reevaluate what you were watching, because now he became a little bit more slippery and wiry in the pocket. He became a little bit more decisive in him running the football, take it off and run. So now you have to scout him in a different way. He went from a quarterback not wanting to run to a quarterback that, okay, I'm going to run if I need to. I'm going to create an opportunity for my guys to make a play down the field. So if you want to know what Cam looked like, what he could potentially look like, just look at the offensive line when they were blocking well, when his receivers were doing their job. They're not elite receivers, but they were doing their job. Chika Conquo was coming on. He started to look like, okay, we have something here. Add on to what you could potentially have next year in the players you're going to bring in, the new head coach. I think that was just a glimpse this last eight games of what Cam can do. I think next year you're going to see exactly, I think, what this quarterback and how effective this quarterback can be once you surround him with players and a good coach.
So Cam Ward finished the season taking 55 sacks. Do you want to know how many sacks he was on pace to take at the end of November?
A lot.
72.
Whew.
So he cut it down significantly. That has part to do with the offensive line. It has part to do with, as you said, just being able to read plays better. One texter says, Cam Ward's grade was mid. I forgot about mid. Before we asked, there was mid.
Yes.
So, yes, Cam Ward's grade was mid. We do have one texter, a harsh grader for Cam Ward from Knoxville. D, or a D minus. Mm-hmm. Face it, we're victims of yet another poor quarterback draft class. There's a huge difference in selecting a quarterback number one because you love him versus selecting a quarterback number one because he's available and you're desperate. Cam is a future backup masquerading as a franchise quarterback a la Mariota. Prediction, if Levis stays on the roster, he will more than challenge Cam for the quarterback one spot.
I mean, that's that person's opinion, and I'm not sure how they came up with he's nothing more than a backup quarterback. He's going to have to develop. But I think that, again, everything has nuance to it, especially in sports. It's just not black and white. So what is the texter faulting him for? What isn't he doing? Because to me, yeah, there are areas he needs to get better. And you can say that about every quarterback that, you know, was drafted high and was going into their second season. There are things they just need to get better at. But I think that if you add talent around him, he will be able to go out there and get the job done. That's all. That's what it's about, just getting the job done. Do whatever you take. Do whatever it takes to get the job done. Jalen Hurts, he's not flashy. He just gets the job done, okay? There are other quarterbacks.
He can also squat like 800 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, there are other quarterbacks out there that it may not be flashy, but they – get the job done. Brock Purdy. It's not flashy, but he gets the job done when he's healthy. I know he was the last pick in the draft, so I get that. But, again, just because you're the first pick in the draft doesn't mean that automatically, the minute you step on the field, you got it. In nowhere, in no business, if that's your first day on the job, you got it. Your first time doing it at that place, at that level, you got it. I don't care if you was the first pick or, you know, the smartest. You don't have it the first day. It takes time. It's a process. And I think Cam is working toward that process, or he's working toward developing to be the quarterback that the Titans need him to be.
Mike from Camden says, I'll give him a B minus, early on C minus, but he came around the second part of the year. Brian said, I'm also at a C, not a C plus or a C minus. We can't ignore the bad, but there was some really good as well that we can ignore, that we can't ignore. Also, a question for Adam on the hot dog and tortilla shell. Do you ever eat that now? Mine was white bread pizza sauce and melted cheese. And yes, I still have that from time to time. First of all, it was a soft tortilla, not a hard tortilla. No, I don't eat that right now because it would disgust my wife. Now it's I eat my son's food.
And you don't think that's even more disgusting that you're eating your son's food?
Well, like
baby food?
No, not baby food. He's 4 years old.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I totally forgot that. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a baby.
Yes. Am I above, like, taking one of his pouches of applesauce? And
oh,
just,
you're wrong.
I will do it.
In a pinch,
I will do it. His Uncrustables, I eat those things up.
Oh, for sure. That is like...
Y'all are wrong, man.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with
y'all
eating Uncrustables?
You eating your kid, your baby's food, man. He's looking... He enjoys his Crustables. He looks forward to his Crustables.
He does love his Uncrustables.
Then when he sticks his little bitty hand in that box, he don't find any more Crustables.
Well, he's learning that life's unfair sometimes.
Yes. Dad's got to eat. One texter quickly says, the difference between Cam and quarterbacks like Drake May and Brock Purdy in his first year is that they made the gimme throws from the beginning.
No, they didn't. Okay, all right. There's no need there. Their teams were awful their first years.
What was
well, not Purdy's. Yeah, I think they had a ready-made team. But New England wasn't good their first year.
New England definitely wasn't good.
With Drake May. They were not. And there were throws he was missing. It was timing that was off. But his second season, you saw the jump. People, the second season, you saw the jump.
Yes.
I'm going to say it again. The second season, you saw the jump, and it added a good head coach with a offensive-minded individual in McDaniels that he may not be a good head coach. Well, he's not. But he's a hell of a play caller.
Yeah, I don't think he's cut out for being a head coach anymore.
Now you're looking at Drake May now, who he is, who he's becoming now. But last year, it wasn't like he was the bee's knees last year. He was developing.
We'll end on this. Jared from Spring Hill. Ward was not in the business of doing dumb bleep to hurt the team like Levis. That is a big factor as well. Cam Ward had some turnover issues, some fumbling issues, interceptions early in the season. But I can't recall too many of the Will Levis-type surrender cobra situations that Will Levis found himself in at the beginning
down
of last
dog.
Season. Right. So you gotta tip your cap for Ward for that. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward's rookie season, your grades for his first year in the NFL. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, let's talk about something I saw today. The Titans may have tanked the NFL's overall attendance this season. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Willie Donick is here. He's not in the studio yet. We saw him walking out of his car toward the front door of the studio. I was concerned he was detained by customs enforcement, but he is here. We can't wait to have him in the studio. Hold on. Should we give him a big, here he comes. Should we give him a big hello when he comes in? Derek, should we do it? There he is.
Hey, Willie.
There he is. Willie Donick.
Hey, Will.
Woo.
Hey, Will. How you doing?
I was afraid you were. I was afraid you were detained.
Willie.
He's back. Willie.
It was breaking news.
Yes.
They were like some bald-headed guy was getting detained at the airport. I'm like, that better not be Willie.
It's Willie. Hello. Good to see you.
Takes a long time to get back from Edmonton.
Oh, man.
Yes, we are so happy.
Willie, you're dedicated. That's all I got to say, Willie. You are dedicated, brother.
We are glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you back. So actually, why don't we do this? Since we were just talking about this, Derek and I and the listeners, we were grading Cam Ward's rookie season. How would you grade Cam Ward's rookie season?
I would say, based on my expectations, that I would say B minus.
Oh.
Okay. You gave him a higher grade than both Derek and I did.
Yeah. Really?
We gave him, I gave him a C.
Yeah, I gave him a C.
Plus, maybe?
Plus. I would have loved.
So close.
Because he didn't finish the final. You know, he didn't finish the final. And it wasn't his fault.
Yeah. I mean, he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, he scored a touchdown, so I guess.
He's off to a good start in the final.
Yeah. He answered the first 10 questions.
He had the blue book open at the first few times. Yeah.
After that.
But honestly, surviving through the stuff that he went through, mm-hmm. I think that's where I grade him high. Right? On overall, show me the ceiling of a superstar in the making, that's where he downgrades to me. I don't know how great he's going to be, but I like his ability to keep coming back every day and saying, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get the most out of my ability. So if I'm the professor, I'm giving him the B minus, and this is in an honors class. You know, if it was weighted because it's an honors class, like think about the support system he had, none.
Yeah.
None. Tell me the support he had. None. They fired the coach.
He had to do work with no computer.
They changed the play call. They changed everything. They gave him the toughest circumstances. So it's a B minus, but if it's weighted, it's an A minus.
Oh. He was in a...
That's how it worked. When I went to high school, that's what you did. You take the hardest calculus class, and you get a C. It's a B in the weighted form. You have weighted and unweighted. That's how we used to roll. I don't know how they do it now. It seems like nobody gets anything lower than a B now.
Yeah.
In any class you take.
You bet not.
The teacher feels bad if they give you a C. Used to be like, here's a C. Be glad you got a C. That's how I got some C's.
C's get degrees.
C's get degrees. There we go. I was like, baby.
Get degrees. So I saw this story today from Sports Business Journal with the headline, NFL attendance down slightly in 2025 season. That doesn't sound so exciting. Sports Business Journal writes that the NFL's average crowd size declined in the 2025 season for the first time since the pandemic. And then it breaks it down individually. Quote, more than two-thirds of the league, 23 teams, saw their home attendance fluctuate by 1% or less in either direction. Just four teams posted increases in their average home attendance of more than 1%. The Panthers at 2.5%, the Chargers at 2.3%, the Giants at 1.7%, the Commanders at 1.4%. Seven teams posted declines of at least 1%. The Ravens, -1%. The Falcons, -1.1%. The Jaguars, -1.7%. The Bengals, -2%. The Browns, -3.9%. The Jets, -5.1%. The Titans, -9.1%.
But that, they're lucky it's that low based on the where they're asking people to go. Like, they knew it would be like this.
Yes.
But look, I don't want to get started on this, but
please do.
If they put effort into making what is their existing home for a whole nother year, if they put any effort into it, it wouldn't be 9%. I don't think it's down 9% because the team was that bad. I think it's because they've given absolutely zero effort into saying, here, we want to make this as easy as possible for you fans to keep coming here while we build the next place. But I think they put zero effort in it all. And next year it'll be higher than 9%.
The headline for me is the Titans tanked the NFL's overall attendance.
They did it on purpose.
This whole 1% thing. Come on, man. I don't.
9.1% down year over year in attendance for the Titans.
It's to me, it's a combination of, you're right, Willie. One, you know, you're not going to invest no more in that stadium. You're just not. And I get it. Why am I investing in the stadium that we're going to ultimately tear down and make apartments and all this other stuff? So I get it. They're
I'm not
invested.
Saying renovate the stadium. Put some effort.
Exactly. But
with the people that are there, let's make this work for 2 years. They didn't do that.
But it's not going to – their mind is not – the old Nissan Stadium. Their mind is the new Nissan Stadium and what it's going to be like. So that was one. And I think two is once they removed a lot of those parking spaces, it made it a little bit more difficult to park and go to these games. I think some people decided, I just watch it at home. I'm not going to deal with, you know, when they build a new stadium, then I go back over there. But right now it's just too much congestion. And I'm sure the city is trying to do what they can to facilitate the parking and make it as easy as possible. And I know the Titans are, but when you're not a good team, when you're not investing heavy or any more really into the stadium that you're in, and it's hard to park and everything else, then why am I coming? And your team's not good. The team's just not good right now. And the prices of things have gone up while wages have stayed the same or has gone lower. So people are weighing whether to go to these games now or just watching them on television, because you're hitting me at the stadium and you're hitting me at home, because I got to pay for these packages to watch y'all game, Titan games, or anybody else. And if I wanted to go to the game, it's going to cost me a lot of money to go, a family of two, three, four, whatever. If you want to take your family, it's just going to cost. So people are starting to stay home. And it may not drop any more than what it is now. It may raise back up once they get into that new stadium. I do believe that's going to happen. But I think that's the nature of sports, especially in certain markets where either their team is bad, the city isn't quite the way it used to be anymore, it's difficult to get to the stadiums and stuff like, or the stadiums just run down. So you're gonna run into those things. But I think once the new stadium's open, I think they're gonna be fine.
Robert in Nashville says, "Do season tickets count as attendance if we don't go to the games? I had zero interest in going if it was cold, if it was raining, and I rarely stayed till the end. But I did learn that the best way to beat traffic at the Titans home games is to stay until the end."
Oh, right. See, they do have it on that list where it's actual. But do they have it on that list? I thought I saw it.
Actual attendees
or just people that bought the ticket?
Box like, score attendance figures have limitations. Uh-huh. They generally include all tickets distributed, not actual attendance, okay. And no shows can be significant for lower demand games. For the second straight year, problems in the official box score numbers had understated Broncos. But that's about the Broncos. I don't care about that. But yes, it's about tickets distributed, which is the way that arenas can say and teams
we
can say,
sold out.
We're sold out. Not everybody may be here.
Exactly.
But we're sold out. One texter on Cam Ward says, "I've been a Titans fan since the creation of the world." Wow. "And watching Cam Ward this season, I can say he's had some of the best throws I've seen by a Titans quarterback in years. I hate that we live in this instant satisfaction type of world where we don't allow players to show their true potential. I rock with Cam, and I think he's going to be an absolute dog for his career." The creation of the world.
Creation of the world.
On the first day, God created.
You're a Titan fan.
Yes.
He created that Titan fan.
I appreciate that. One texter wants to know if you see similarities between Cam Ward and Steve McNair at this point in their careers.
Yes, there is, but I'm not sure that there are some small things that I sort of see or plays that he made that made me sort of like, wow, that's Steve, that's Mac right there. But is he Steve? I don't think he's Steve McNair. It's just a different game now. I would have loved to see Steve McNair in this type of NFL now, knowing what he did in college. You know, I would love to see him in an NFL where, you know, passing is paramount. When he was playing, running was paramount. Passing was secondary. Now it's you got to be able to throw the football.
Matt says, "I have three kids. I commute to Nashville every day for work. I am not fighting that situation with three kids for the price and production." I mean, so next season, the attendance figures are going to probably be bad too, because the Titans are definitely not going to put any work into the final season of the old Nissan Stadium.
No.
So we shall see. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll get back into the Titans coaching search, John Harbaugh, which candidates Hutton likes. We'll discuss it all with our friend Hutton coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.